Tip Together Podcast.
Hey everybody, welcome back to the Staple Together Podcast for the comic book release week of March 25th, 2020. I'm Ooze.
I'm Gucci.
We're gonna start off with the news for this week. Sudan.
No news is like good news, it's like bad news, it's like news.
What'd you got?
According to all this virus stuff, Wonder Woman's going to be released August 14th.
Instead of the original release date.
Which July, was like July 8th?
Of like a couple of weeks from now. It was supposed to be like an April or May release. They pulled it back. No, it was a June release.
A June release, that's right. That's correct.
But June, yeah, they moved it to August. They're sticking to the theatrical release. They're not going to be digital like the rest of these people doing it. So,
right.
Because they suck.
Yeah, that's too bad. I think they can make a good buck doing that.
They just don't seem like they want to help the people who are trying to cope at home. So.
Yeah, DC. You know.
Warner Brothers.
That's the same thing.
No, DC's better than Warner Brothers because DC actually knows what they're doing and Warner Brothers fucks it up.
Right. That's a thing.
Fair enough.
It's unfortunate, but you know. I wanted to see the Wonder Woman movie.
I do.
Now we're not gonna.
Yeah.
Because it's not coming out until after we care.
Yeah.
Yeah, much like the New Mutants, which is postponed 2 years, then given an April release date, now is postponed indefinitely.
They're going to put it on Disney Plus, where they should have put it on originally.
Yeah.
Well, we'll see what happens here. This stuff's crazy.
So is Black Widow and all that. It's weird.
Yeah.
But that's it for me.
Peachy, what you got?
My news source today was a YouTube channel, Everything Always, that reported rumors circulating around Keanu Reeves finally getting a role in the MCU. Kevin Feige says that he talks to him about almost every project that they do, trying to find him a suitable role, and from this video, the rumor is that he's going to be playing Ghost Rider, and not only Ghost Rider, but Johnny Blaze Ghost Rider, which is not the original Ghost Rider, but the original Ghost Rider, motorcycle Ghost Rider. I don't hate it, but I personally, as a Ghost Rider fan, I see him more as a Danny Ketch,
sure,
the second Ghost Rider, than Johnny Blaze. And if that were to happen, I'd prefer he be Danny Ketch. And if it were to happen, who knows, they may have gotten some details wrong about it, and they do cast him in that role, since we've seen several other iterations of Johnny Blaze. But
I have a hard time with listening on this one. We've been talking about him for a while.
Yeah.
Keanu's obviously a very hot commodity because he was Ted from Bill and Ted.
Yeah, that's the
only reason.
It's his pinnacle role. But,
I personally liked him best as Keanu in the movie Keanu.
Yeah. For sure.
He's a cat.
Yeah.
I was like, was he actually in that movie? Yeah, I was trying to think. I see the movie once. It was funny.
Yeah, it was a good one.
But no, I don't trust the source. I'm sorry. We've seen enough of his videos. That
I have actually seen plenty of his videos that are right about stuff.
It's
more right than wrong, actually.
But the problem, I think I don't see him as that role. I honestly see him more kind of going towards a villainous role. Or maybe even, I thought he was supposed to be in the Eternals in some way, shape, or form. That
they
was originally rumored.
Yeah, previously mentioned, Feige talks to him about almost every project. The last one he was actually supposed to actually be in was Captain Marvel. And he had a role solidified for that, and then scheduling errors and things went wrong. So
John Wick 3.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Quit watching the John Wick movies so you can get him in a Marvel movie, people.
But yeah, I don't hate it. Yeah, but you know, you just don't see him in that role.
I just don't see him in that particular role. He's just too calm for that. I mean, yeah, the John Wick, he's still pretty calm, zen about it, and he's that of a person. He never really kind of goes beyond that role these days.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I don't think he could be... I mean, you could do a calm, collected Ghost Rider, but I just don't see him be in that.
I mean, I
unless he shaved his head for Matrix again.
Great. And Nick Cage, I did not like his Johnny Blaze. His accent came and went, and Nick Cage is Nick Cage, and he acts the way that Nick Cage acts. Whoa. And whatever. That being said, I love the movie. I love the movies, and the second one not so much, but the original Ghost Rider movie with Nick Cage.
I thought you said you liked the second one. I might be mistaken it, though.
No, I mean, I liked it, but it not nearly as much as the original, and it could have been much better, but I didn't agree that they should do a sequel with him or another movie, a completely separate movie with him.
I'm going to push for him as Magneto.
I could see that.
But or even if he's going to shave his head, he could be Professor X.
Oh, you mean Keanu?
Keanu.
I could see him as Magneto. Maybe.
I could try to see him being... We'd get the little goatee, villain goatee. Or the dark world, what is it? Dark...
Mirror universe?
There's something that was going hashtag who's with the beard. Put it on. There are people putting on their masks so they can be their alternate world. It has something to do with Community. That show.
I'm sure it was a reference to Star Trek.
Which they probably made in that show, but I don't know. I don't know. I would love to see him in a Marvel movie. I just don't see him as Apple.
Until I see it, I can't judge. I do know his acting. I know his chops. I know what he's done. I know his style and whatever, but...
I know that he's a vampire that can't die.
Yeah. But you never know with a new director, different things, different circumstances call for different things. And I don't hate Keanu. He is a little bit...
stoic.
Well, stoic or two-dimensional. Kind of. But
I'm looking forward to seeing how he's going to be in Bill and Ted, because it's going to be completely different from what he has been. He's going to,
right?
but is he going to be like that? I'm looking forward to that.
Yeah, for sure.
But I want to see the characters. I want to see Marvel doing it. I'm honestly, the future's interesting.
Yeah. What do you think about Keanu?
I don't have an opinion on him.
Really?
Yeah.
He's on this planet.
He exists. He's a vampire.
Yeah.
He's been around for centuries.
That's all I had. What you have?
My news is that Diamond Distributors will not be distributing comics for the next 2 weeks. That impacts us directly, actually, in this podcast.
Yeah, for... At the very least, the next 2 weeks.
Yeah, at the least, next 2 weeks, yeah. So I know that our store is closing for the next 2 weeks, except for curbside pickup and delivery.
Right.
For what?
For them coronas.
Yeah. whatever they might have, back issues, other collectibles.
Oh, so you mean your local store should have back issues that you can go and buy?
Yeah.
That would be really good.
Yeah, yeah. Still support your local comic book store by picking up back issues.
This is gonna hurt small businesses pretty hard. So
find your local maybe try to see if they have an online location.
So that affects us directly. Like, we won't have new comics next week.
Right.
We probably won't do a live video. For our hauls.
Yeah.
But we'll see. We're going to be figuring it out and putting out some content either way.
Yeah, we've considered several media sources and things like that that we've talked about. So we'll see what we come up with. And, we want to keep you guys informed and entertained through this, just like we want to be.
Yes.
So, yeah, we'll be here.
We shall.
That is despicable news.
Yeah.
not happy about it. No. But that's okay. We'll get our comics eventually.
Yep. Eventually. Yes, we will. I wonder how this is going to affect, like, the events that they have going on. Are they going to, like, double up on weeks?
That's what they were saying at the comic book store, is that they hope that there's not 3 weeks worth of comics when Diamond gets back.
Yeah.
Because that's going to be awful and hard to keep up with. Yeah. I wonder if they're just going to push back the schedule for
stuff. I hope so.
Which will mess up a lot of stuff and plans, but they can make issues bigger. Maybe next week, Issue will have two different, and who's to say that, you know, they won't charge. Image keeps their comics usually the same price, even if they get bigger.
As long as people stay inside, wash their hands, don't touch their face, I think we'll be fine.
Touch other people's face. Lick your comics.
Yeah, lick your comics. That's
don't
fine.
No, don't lick your comics. What? In this situation, do not lick your comics. That's how
I
you get Corona comics.
I can't grind them up
comics.
And snort them anymore?
No, that's fine, because that's getting into the mucous membranes, and therefore sanitary.
Also, don't forget to fill out your census.
Yeah. It's the law.
We're not paid by the government. No. Well, I guess we're all getting paid by the government.
But that's all that I had for news. Yep. Let's go into comic book reviews.
Comic book review. It's a comic book review.
That's what it is.
That was important news.
It was.
Yeah.
Sudan. What books did you have?
I had books. Lots and lots of books.
Are you sure?
So many books.
You never have any books.
Didn't get to read all of them. Well, luckily next week I'll be able to pick up the books that I didn't get this week.
Yeah. Catch up on some books.
That's why it's like, I think that might be a good healthy habit for people to start taking into account. Like, you might, you know, get too many books than you can afford, put them in your hold slot, and then when Corona hits, then you'll have something to read
next time it hits.
Yeah.
Next time something like this hits, because, God.
Because this happens so often.
Right? You never know. So, I had that Star Wars Bounty Hunters number 2.
Same
deal. Nice bounce back from that first issue that was kind of...
Yeah. It was more fluid, I feel.
I actually started, liking some of the storyline that was being told. And
it makes
the characters...
more sense now. Mm-hmm.
That one still got a 7.
Yeah.
Out of 10 on it. Writing by Ethan Sachs. And I made it a point to send you, as you saw, the text message with your artists.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Last week, you were like, what's my artist? I thought that was great.
It's fine.
Paolo Villanelli is the artist. Paolo.
Okay.
Paolo, it's P-A-O. Lo.
Okay.
It's Paolo.
Paolo.
Paolo, that's what I said.
Paolo.
Okay.
My brain hurts.
Arif Prianto is the colorist. Lee Barmejo is the cover that I got.
We should just do a podcast of you pronouncing
Ernest Hemingway.
Hemingway.
Mango. Flavored.
I'm pretty sure that there was a Vine channel that already did that.
Oh, really?
Stuff. Mango.
Mango.
Mango. Go Mango.
Go Mango. But yeah, that was a rough... It was still a rough book, but it's kind of like, okay. They mentioned things. I was like, ooh.
Yeah.
So, let's get the actual books out now. It's all a mess. Then I had Angel and Spike.
Me too.
Number 10.
Yep.
Nice.
I'm just going to go ahead and mention your artist as well.
Thanks. Here. Brian Edward Hill.
Brian Ed Hill. I had it abbreviated to say Vlad because you never know. We might run out. Better go and storm your stores and grab all the lead off. Leave the toilet paper. And Gleb Melnikoff is the artist.
Gleb's not a real name.
Why so Gleb?
Gleb? It's a name. It's a name. It's right there. I wrote it.
It's a joke.
I know. look at the tone.
Previously from Dancing with the Stars.
You're dancing.
Close dancing up. Into the Stars.
Dancing of the Stars.
Okay, I heard Dancing into the Stars. Cool.
Color by Roman. I can't wait to hear you guys is on this one. Titoff.
Titoff.
Gleb Melinkov.
Good job, sir.
Did the cover that I got. Okay. Here. It's cooler than
Angel and
the other
Spike.
Cover that I saw for me. Derpy Spike on both.
Yeah, I don't know what's up with Spike. I feel like in the one that you got that they drew him too boxy. He's like,
isn't he vampired out or vamped?
No.
No, he's just got shadow. He's just sitting in a shadow. It's really odd. But yeah, this book I got an 8 out of 10 on it. I liked it. Honestly, I liked it because of I liked it because of Spike.
Yes.
I like Spike's role in the way they're doing it now, and I like him even though it didn't need him to get a soul to where he got. And that's what I like. That's all I'm going to say.
Is the story arc comparable to the story? I mean, is it as good?
It's good, but it's like, I like Spike more. Because he's not all like, oh, Buffy, oh, Buffy, oh, Buffy, I'm so sad. Instead, he's all, oh, Drusilla.
Well, it's more like, oh, Drusilla. Okay, I'm going to go do stuff.
He's like, I'm sad, but I'm going to be productive about
yeah,
it.
Yeah, which is good. It's healthy.
And it's cool to see. And I'm liking that they actually are giving like the vampires more of a choice in this set of stories. Like Xander, I'm curious what's going to happen with that, because
he may or may not be dead.
Right. I'm curious if he's going to be able to stay on that moral vel if he comes back. I'm also, like, Spike, no soul, he's got that moral, he's able to kind of ground himself, which I'm like, okay, cool, this is interesting to see new storylines might develop from here. Here, let me get these out of the way. So
she's just watching the sound waves.
Right now she's watching the mouse.
The mouse and the sound waves and the thing up here, she likes all the, she watches the computer when I editing upstairs. It's great. We're talking about podcast people's podcast.
Yeah, sorry.
The new one called Baby.
We're in the Felicia. New studio, so it's everything's a different setup, so the podcast can see the recordings happening.
I'm glad podcast can see.
But yeah, I got that an 8 out of 10 for mine.
Yeah.
I thought it was a pretty good book, and I'm like,
I enjoyed it.
Different than the last one. I like it much better than Buffy. But
we'll see, because we've only had one issue since after Hellmouth, so
right.
We'll see. And it was like a side story too, so that doesn't help.
Filler issues, man.
Alright, so next I had a book I shared with Peachy here, and it was stupid.
Really?
It was stupid, and hear me out, Philanderer over here. Hear me out, Philanderer, okay?
Philanthropist.
This one I get, and I'll tell you how stupid I gave it. This was writing by Nick Spencer, art by Ryan Otley, and coloring by Nick Fairbairn, and Otley and Fairbairn did the cover that we got.
Right.
I'll give you my score first, and that might give you more of an indicator of what my stupid means. And this one got a 9.5 out of 10.
Yeah. Okay, that's much
better. I literally cried.
Oh.
Tears. And I'm hiding. I'm trying to fight back
right
now. I could
have.
And I worried for you because of recent losses. And I had to hug a kitty. I had to hug my baby because it was the story of Gog. And, oh my god, heartbreaking. Heartbreaking story. I'm tearing up now.
Yeah.
But, beautifully written, and it was just like, here's this comedic element, then it's like, hits you in the heart, and it's like, oh god, how is Superman gonna do this? Or not Superman, Spider-Man is gonna do this. So yeah, this book was stupid. I'm using Ooze's words, because when good things that make you hurt, it's stupid. It's stupid. And this book was just, there's some stuff that happens. I don't. Is that your book of the week or?
It's not. I was in between, for sure. Mm-hmm. There was one of my ones that I wanted to have be my pick, but it was not.
Like that, just the story they did in that one was beautiful, but still, like, oh, I want to hug Gog. Yeah. I want to hug him, and he just wants his boy, and he can't ever have his boy. So.
It was, I mean, if you get a chance to, and you'll have plenty of chances to pick up stuff online and whatever now, but pick this book up. It's a standalone, and, I mean, it's the middle of a story arc, but.
They were kind of like.
Separated. Good, yeah. Yeah, segregated it from the current story and you know, told this other story, and it was beautiful. It was great. You know, very well done and very emotional.
Tore me up, man. I'm like, yeah. I had to stop, walk away, lay down for a little bit, hug a kitty.
Yeah.
I'm like, that hit me.
Yeah, it was a good one.
But, definitely not my pick of the week, although it could have been. It could have been, because we had number 49. Oh, wait, I didn't put Ghostbusters on here. Oops, I forgot to put all the Ghostbusters shit on here.
What?
Oops. All right, cause I had Ghostbusters number 3, year 1. Number 3. This one was the... Oh, God, I'm like...
Yeah, no,
allergies,
yeah.
Allergies, man. It's because the cat and the floor. But Ghostbusters is Corona. The last one was about Ray, and then this one was, or the one before that was about Winston. This one's about Peter.
Okay.
This one was great. I would give it a 9.5, almost a 10 out of 10 on this one. It's wow. This one was a great book. They mentioned if you watch the original movie, there's the mention in the newsreel when they're all like, the guy stayed over and went and partied at this bar, at this local dance club, and they busted some ghosts, and then they stayed and danced the night away with the ladies, and then you see Dana, she's working out. They tell the story about, like, then they show you that event, like, what they actually did.
Oh, that's cool.
And it was interesting, and you find out that Egon's a dance god. He goes, I'm a dance god. And they're looking at Egon like,
he's a dance god.
And then he ends up dancing and beating the ghost, and it was great. It was like, oh, thank you for that. That was fun. So that was a lot of fun. I was in 9.5. Burnham. Eric Burnham, I think it was the artist. And then Dan Schoening and Louis something Delgado are the people who did it. But pick of the week is Power Rangers number 49.
Yeah.
Oh, nice.
That got a solid 10 out of 10. It's the continuing story and the necessary evil storyline. Everything's coming to a head. So now I'm like kind of like, damn it, Corona. I have to wait longer to see how this comes to fruition because Go-Go and Power Rangers are now delayed. But we're all in the same boat for a lot of our storylines. But this one, Ryan Perrott, the continuing, or Parrot, whatever you want to say. Artist was Danielle Di Niculo. Colorist was Walter Biamonte. I'm trying my very best. I am. And then I got...
I'm enjoying every minute, man.
The cover by Jamal Campbell.
Can't fuck that one up.
And Jamal.
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 Oh, they also already Camp did that Bell. On Key and Peele.
Right? Yeah.
Jamal.
No.
Just get it.
The Aaron.
Okay.
I was like, I didn't see that one. I was like, I've seen all of them, but that one. Okay, but yeah, Campbell. The continuous story that we got going on in this one is the Rangers. You got the Omega Rangers. You got the regular Rangers. They finally are aware of what's going on. They've gone out because the force sensitive, I would say, or the yeah. the Morphin Grid sensitives. The Morphin Grid sensitives were rounded up by these people for all this time, by the Mega Rangers, which is our, some of our favorite characters, and one other who goes, I don't like this anymore, you know, then starts rebelling against them. So there's a big war to end the Rangers
right.
from all these people that they caught. And so it's just everything's coming to head. Rangers getting messed up. And then the team that we thought got messed up that the Ranger Slayer saved shows up right at the same time. Right. So we got them fighting against this doggo dude that kicked their ass in the first place. And he kicks their ass. And then the Blue Ranger, the Blue Omega Ranger, has sent one of her minions in her Zord, her Omega Zord, to fight the other Omega Rangers. And they got the upper hand on him in the Zord. But then all the super-powered force, the Morphin Grid sensitives, take out the Black Ranger's Omega Zord. Just, without Zords or anything, they just come out and just beat the shit out of it.
Damn.
And then they take out Trini, the Yellow Ranger Zord, and then ends with her, is she dead?
Huh.
Which is leading me to believe that they're actually going to properly kill her off in the series, which is an honor to her when she died in real life.
Right.
Kind of that respect to give her an honorable type, death in some way. But I think that, I don't think she's dead yet, but I think that they are alluding to that. That's Mike's prediction in number 50, but it was like, oh God, are they doing it was absolute chaos, a lot of action, a lot of really, dynamic writing, and the art and stuff and coloring is amazing because you need coloring with Power Rangers. There's a centerfold that had a fold out that was a spread.
Yes.
A spread that had all the Rangers on the top, all the Dino Rangers and the White Ranger morphing, all saying their thing, and then on the bottom you had the Mega Rangers doing theirs, and it was just like the way it all was beautiful.
It's called a full 2-page splash.
Mm-hmm. And I'm like, I want that on the wall right
now.
Kind of type shit. Like, that was really cool because they were in their actual suits, but the Omega Rangers were their suits were elemental. So the Red Rangers is fire, so it was all on fire, but with the mask and everything, that was super cool.
Oh yeah. So,
but I sealed my book, or I'd show you.
Yeah. Too bad those aren't digis either. You could just pull it up or whatever.
I wish I had the digitals. I'm actually considering, I do sometimes buy these on digital when they go on sale in Comixology and their trades. They do them for $5 for a trade.
Damn. That's not bad at all.
But I'm going to go ahead and sacrifice this one time and show you that spread. But it's been really good, and I'm super excited to see how they plan this, the 50th, their zone.
That's awesome.
Nice.
But yeah, I see the flames.
Yeah.
I hate that your storyline reminded me of another storyline I was reading that ended on a cliffhanger and that I won't be seeing into.
Where are they going to go with this? I hate this. No, that's my question on this I meant to ask is, do we have any indication on digital releases from the publishers?
Yeah.
Are they still going to continue doing that? Because that kind of sucks for those. That would suck.
For non-Marvel readers, basically.
Yeah, and DC's got their... They always put theirs up because it always comes up on Comixology.
Yeah, but I mean, I think there's just nobody working. I mean, even if the artists and writers did their job, there's nobody to... get it out, to publish it, to run all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, it just makes me wonder how close to the release dates they run these things up to. Because I'd imagine they'd have a couple weeks or a couple months worth of books ready to go. Then you got the X-Men dilemma, where they're not necessarily going to be able to have all the books ready for people because, sometimes things change.
Yeah.
They might have to extend it, like Secret Wars and such. Right. But that's all I had. You do?
Nice. Yeah, I dug that. That's awesome.
Sweet.
A lot of really good books.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
It's getting harder and harder, and they need to stop putting these things together. Freaking, you got Ghostbusters and Power Rangers, and then Spider-Man coming surprising out of nowhere after sucking for so long.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, well, I hope we're going to get some answers soon. And I always say that, but I hope we're going to get some answers.
I think Fisk is going to reset the universe.
Right.
He's got that stone.
It's a snap.
What books did you have this week, PT?
This week, I did share that Amazing Spider-Man number 42 title with Sudan. Once again, I will sing the praises of this issue, and I can't enough, because it was damn good. And I highly, highly recommend it. 8.5 for me on that one. I was between that one and another one, but let's move on to Wolverine. Number 2 was out today. And we got the writer and artist on the...
Yeah.
Wolverine number 2 was out today, written by Benjamin Percy and featuring cover and story art by Adam Kubert. It was good, but confusing.
Mm.
It kept switching between different things and hard to tell, you know, keep track of what's happening and what reality kind of thing, but not reality, but imagination or whatever and stuff. It was kind of confusing. Art was great.
So kind of like the return of Wolverine.
Yeah.
Kind of like, it was like, I don't know what's going on.
Yeah.
Okay. That's why I think I stopped reading it. But
yeah, I enjoyed the first issue. But I don't think it got above a 7, maybe even a 6.5. And this one's at a 5.5.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah, I'm a long-time Wolverine collector, but I don't know. X-Men number 9 was out today, written by Jonathan Hickman, featuring cover and story art by Lionel Francis Yu. It was a pretty decent story. I gave it a 7. There's a lot going on in the X-Men world. Especially the main storyline. Right now, I think I talked about it before briefly. The Brood is attacking. There's a King Egg involved that they're coming after. That's on Earth, or that was on Earth and went to the Shi'ar temple, or one thing or another. And Gladiator was involved, and then the freaking Starjammer showed up and everything. Everybody and their dad was there.
Pretty much.
Yeah, but it was good. It was good, but only got a 7 from me because it even though it was an integral part of the story, not a whole lot happened.
Yeah.
Except for, I mean, there it was a big cliffhanger at the end, until the very end. Not a whole lot happened. But I gave that a 7. But my pick of the week today was Hellions number 1. It was written by Zeb Wells and featuring story and cover by Steven Segovia. The kind of a Suicide Squad story. It felt familiar in that way, yet it was, and I didn't realize that until after I'd read it, and I'm like, oh yeah, you know what, that was kind of, that's that's why it kind of felt familiar. But you know, there's definitely a Marvel twist on it, and then the mutant twist on it, and then the whole thing about what's going on with the mutant sovereign nation and blah blah blah, and what these different groups are doing at different times and whatever. This one put together like a super motley crew, headed by the boss is Mr. Sinister. And he just has them like cleaning up his mistakes, and basically, you know, you fall, you die, move on, whatever, because, you know, so long as you get the work done. And she kind of put he put Psylocke in charge of the group. Havoc is in it because he lost his mind, went crazy, and nearly killed 3 people.
Oh
yeah, one's terribly disfigured and 2 were missing limbs, and yeah, because...
Sweet.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not going to say they didn't deserve it, but they have, you know, rules and stuff and whatever.
Right.
So, yeah, they decided to put together this crew, and it was pretty cool. I'm curious to, you know, they started off the job that they were going to do and, you know, got a surprise ending, you know, like, uh-oh, this is going to happen now. And I,
you won't know until.
Yeah, yeah.
Who knows when.
Yeah, exactly. So will I ever see Hellions number 2? I don't know, but Hellions number 1 got my vote.
Nice.
9.5, or 9 on that one.
Hellions, yeah.
Yeah.
Hellions, yeah.
Hellions,
last
yeah.
Last time you talked about X-Men stuff with the Brood coming in, Sudon was like, oh yeah, that's
and
a
I
meat.
Was wrong.
And you were wrong, because he is a member of the Sakaar.
Ah, the Sakaar.
There was another character that's up. In there, in the Hulk that I was thinking of, that is Brood. That's part of his little thing, I think. They got, like, triangular heads. She is...
There's... Well, I forgot what the name of the character was. He had a very important role in that book, and he was a Brood, but he's a familiar to the X-Men and lives with them and stuff and whatnot.
Yeah.
Brood!
I think his name is Brood. His name may be Brood.
Oh.
Special guest appearance by Bambi.
Well, that's super cool.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's a lot that happened.
It is a lot that happened, and I'm a little bit disappointed that I'm not going to get to keep reading these books, because they've been, I'm not disappointed. I'm glad I picked up the volumes, or the
issues.
The issues and the side stories and everything else, the X books and whatever. They've been good so far, and I hope these guys have a job coming up in the future.
Yeah, for sure.
For sure. Hope we all do.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah, what you got for us?
I had books.
Ooh.
As previously mentioned, I had Star Wars Bounty Hunters number 2. Continued writing by Ethan Sachs, art by Paolo Vintinelli, color by Eric Pinanto, and I got the Chris Sprouse and Carl Story cover.
I was like, wait, I didn't put the extra covers on there, so I took the extra picture of the inside, because it just happened to be on my screen. I was like, oh.
It's fine. I was just like, I don't know which one this is. And Nerij Menon, I think, as well, was also cover artist on this. It's the 7 out of 36 that they're putting out for the 40th anniversary of Empire Strikes Back.
Nice.
I definitely like this one more than the last issue, because there wasn't a lot of back and forth. There was still back and forth from the whatever was happening into the past, into the future, but it felt more cohesive
right. And
made sense how they were doing it.
He stuck to one section enough to make it okay.
Yeah.
You can be like, uh-oh, okay, I'm following you, good storytellers.
Yes, yes. And now I understand what's happening. Not enough Boba Fett. I need more clones. Hashtag put more clones in everything. I also had... I'm still trying to decide what my pick of the week is.
Oh, right.
I also had Red Hood Outlaw number 44. Continued writing by Scotty Lobdell. Art by... I don't have a cheat sheet for this.
Red Hood writer and artist writer for Red
Paolo
Hood.
Paolo Pantanella was the artist. That's weird. And Arif Prianto was
Paolo.
The colorist.
Paolo. Yeah.
And I got the variant cover. No, I got the main cover by Paolo Pantanella and Sunny Gao. They were undercover and... because things are happening with bad guys, and Artemis's hair was black, and I was really confused until she said that she
I'm
was
undercover.
Undercover,
I'm wearing a wig.
No, she
oh,
dyed
yeah.
her hair.
Oh,
because
dyed
it's still
her.
Like the length. And
oh,
the,
okay.
It looks like her hair, but black.
Right.
It was like I told you earlier this week, because I've been catching up on a lot of it, back reading.
Yes.
Red Hood's a badass.
He is.
Yeah.
In the event Leviathan, they all came for him. But Batman came first and was all like, hey, they're like, we want to work together on this event Leviathan thing. You know, trying to figure it out. And then everybody showed up and he got stopped by Lois Lane. But he was still, he held his own against Batman, Robin, Green Arrow, two others, Question, and a few others. I'm like, oh man, go Red Hood. He didn't even have Artemis or anybody else backing him up.
Yeah.
Oh, JT's.
That was back when they were still in the alternate universe.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, that was cool. Mad respect.
Yes.
Hell yeah.
I also had Angel and Spike, number 11, created by Joss Whedon, written by Brian Edward Hill, illustrated by fake name. yeah, and I got the Gleb Melnikoff cover and the original cover that we had mentioned earlier.
Right.
So my last two books are Flash number 752 and Far Sector number 5. Flash number 752 was continued writing by Joshua Williamson, Howard Porter, and colors by Hi-Fi. I got a cover, got the variant cover, that is by Jungjin Yoon? Jungjin Yoon.
That's a fake name.
It's not as fake as Gleb. That's just like
that's
typo.
That's a Gleb outlook, okay?
Gleb. Or Gleb. I'm all Gleb.
Gleb.
And then continued writing for Far Sector by N.K. Jemison and art by Jamal Campbell. I got this. Makes me really sad. I got a copy that the page is all bent and jacked up, and I'm really sad.
Yuck.
But it was. What cover did I get? Where does it say it? It says it on the first page. I got distracted. And I got the Warren Lau cover.
Instead of the War and Peace cover.
That cover's cool.
Instead of the Jamal Campbell cover.
I'm getting like Sonequa Martin Green and what's that one chick that has the, she's a beautiful musician that has tall hair.
I listened to her music too, so I'm really sad that I can't think of her name.
You know who I'm talking about,
yes,
though. That you see them too.
The pansexual one.
She wears the suits.
Janelle Monáe.
Yes. She wears really dapper suits, and she's, the cover looks like those two did the fusion dance, and
she was in the action figures movie with Steve Martin, or not Steve Martin, Steve Carell, the other Steve.
Oh, the 40-year-old version.
No.
Oh.
The action figure one that we'd never watched, that he got beat up because of something.
Oh, yeah. Oh, Welcome to Marwen. Yeah.
That one.
I have seen that, actually.
No, I didn't watch it.
It was, it wasn't worth the watch.
She was in it.
She was the,
But yeah. Yes. Sure. Yes. So in Flash, Barry's dealing with possibly of dying. He didn't die. He got transported to a different place where Paradox was created, and where he decays. Yeah, he decays very rapidly. But then he figures out that it's a wrong place because it doesn't have any sort of vibration in it, because all different universes have
their own frequencies.
So he realizes that it's fake, but it's like his mom's there and it's Flash City and it's like paradise and it's supposed to be like heaven. And he's like, yeah, this is fake. Like, no matter how much I want it to be real, it's fake. And I have to go beat Paradox because he's going to do stuff that I don't agree with. So gotta go fix that. That's what I gotta do, no matter what's going on here.
Right.
So he vibrates so fast that it destroys, like, the entire fake place, and
nice.
It's a whole thing. And then in Far Sector, I'm trying to decide by saying which one I'm gonna say the ending for is gonna be my pick of the week.
Okay.
So in Far Sector, it was basically her. I can't remember her name. I don't know why. I'm so bad with names. Her name is
Jen?
I don't think it says it in this book, actually, at all. Oh, no, it says it at the end.
So this is your pick? Because you're going to say the end?
No.
I have a theory.
I don't remember. Huh. It doesn't matter. Through it's basically her backstory and how she became a Green Lantern because she. So when she grew up, her mom had like an office job, and her mom kept on getting passed up for all these promotions because right. she's a black female in a group of all white males, and it was like the early 2000s. The only reason I know that is because then. Her parents get a divorce and she goes to live with her dad, and then the Twin Towers get attacked and she goes in and actually helps people like escape and stuff with her dad. So she like found a purpose with helping people, and then she eventually joins the military and is like, I don't feel like we're helping people here. I feel like we're doing more harm than good. So she leaves the military and then becomes a police officer. And then she reports her partner for police brutality, and then she gets fired. And so then she's like, I don't have a purpose. Like, I can't help people because every time I try and help people, ends up doing the opposite.
Right.
So she's like all depressed and whatever. But then another lantern comes in and is like, I have a job for you. And now you're a Green Lantern.
Nice.
What kind of lantern?
I don't know.
Did he have a mask?
It was a she.
Was it Jessica?
No.
Was it
It wasn't a human, yeah.
Was it Infamous Monada?
Oh, she might be a human, actually.
Ancient Sonata?
Yeah, that one. Never heard of her. She's a new one.
Not familiar.
But she's basically... No, she was an alien, because she was talking to her like she... She was an alien. She's like, your people.
Ah.
Yeah, basically. So in Flash, he remembers Barry remembers that Iris said something at the very end of the last issue that was, there was only one person that was able to defeat Paradox. And who was that?
I forgot.
Reverse Flash.
That's right.
It was the Reverse Flash. So he's
Elastic Man.
So he was in the alternate universe where decay was happening,
right.
And he finds all of these pieces to build like a monitor to see like everything that's happening all at once, because Paradox could also see everything that was happening at once,
right.
In that universe for whatever reason. And so he builds all these monitors, so he has to find a place where he can go to Eobard and, like, be like, okay, I need your help. We need to defeat this guy. And he chooses the point where he
kills his mother.
Kills his mom. And that's why I said, Barry Allen is an idiot, and I closed the book. And that's... So now I have to wait... to see what's gonna happen that.
Flashpoint.
Well, he's like, he's specifically like, I have to go to a point that I can't change anything, that he's gonna continue doing whatever he's gonna do,
right.
So I don't create another Flashpoint situation so none of this happens again. Because obviously that was the problem, so he has to go to a point where it's not gonna change anything because his mom still has to die.
Right, so he has to witness his mother's murder again and then.
Again.
And then talk to his enemy.
Yeah. Yep.
And convince his enemy to help him defeat another enemy.
Yep. The enemy of my enemy is my friend.
Right.
Or is it? Who knows? But also Paradox is using Godspeed for something time travel-y. I assume he's going to try and go back in time and save his family. Put him back in time. I don't know. But there's a time treadmill. So
the cosmic treadmill.
Cosmic treadmill.
Yes.
That he's gonna force Godspeed onto and make him run. We'll see what happens.
Right.
But
that's
yeah,
crazy.
Flash number 752
Hell
was
yeah.
my pick of the week.
That was a good one. Damn.
It was a whole lot that happened. But I really like Far Sector.
Yeah.
The art's amazing. I just enjoyed all of it. And it was also social commentary.
Right.
A lot of that about.
Mm-hmm. But that's it for the episode.
Yeah, for
that's
sure.
The end of the episode. What comics do you guys have next week?
Oh, yeah.
Just kidding.
There's some independent rackets that are...
She just trails off.
But yeah, I mean, still go to your local comic book stores. Most of them actually have delivery now. I know Hall of Justice is doing it. Allseas is doing it. I'm sure plenty of other stores are doing it.
Right.
Allseas is also doing curbside pickup, which is cool because I want to get out of the house.
but I don't want the person delivering.
Yes, yes, and Sudan does not want the person delivering. but if you don't know where your local comic book store is, go to comicbookstorelocator.com to figure that out and call them and see if they're doing delivery if you can't leave your house.
And wash your hands.
And wash your hands. Always wash your hands, don't touch your face.
Wash them, then hands them. Pick these books up as much as you can, guys. Help these guys out. Pick them up.
I like that kind of like rolls into the like pick them up after you wash your hands.
Yes.
Yeah.
And then
don't wash your hands again.
Yes. And then continuously wash your hands with the comics in your
hands. You're just like one handed. And then you do like a dry it. And you get the other hand. 20 seconds for each hand. That's really hard. You're going to get a lot of thumb action using the towel. And then you can be like, oh. I got a thumbprint on here. Damn it, now I gotta wash my hand again.
Yeah.
I was also gonna say, we're gonna definitely put our heads together to come up with more media and things like that, you know, to have content, yeah.
For contenting.
And once again, keep you guys informed and entertained.
Check everybody's social media out. They had really successful Ooze, and Peachy had really successful Star Wars trivia.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Multi-stream.
Yeah.
On the Twitter,
Instagram. It was just on the Instagram.
Twitter, Instagram. And, yeah, check that out. Yeah, the Stapled Together Pod.
Yep.
Peach King 76. I'm going to be doing more pictures.
Sudan Lives. And, of course, don't go to Facebook. Stay on Facebook. Facebook's the devil.
If you go on Facebook, you will be possessed by a corona.
By a corona.
A corona.
My corona.
So it's a ticking clock.
Yeah.
All right. But yeah.
Peachy, you got a quote for us?
Yeah, and it's a famous quote. It's been oft spoken, but I think it's relevant in this time, in day and time, and that's, of course... the only thing we have to fear is fear itself. Let's not let fear overtake us, you know, and things like that. I think that's a great quote. Thank you, FDR. As opposed to the quote we got about, what do we do about scared Americans? You're a terrible reporter.
Do you have a quote from us?
A quote from us. No. No. I tried pretty hard.
No.
No.
Mama?
No.
I've come to bargain.
It is a go-to.
No. No.
We'll catch y'all on the flippity.
We'll have you listening next time. Bye.
Bye.
It didn't catch her by guys either because I turned it down. He was trying to say Dormammu.
No, I wasn't.
Yes, you were.
I had it already.
You.
Well, I haven't got to be.
thanks for listening to our podcast. If you enjoyed this, connect with us on social media, and of course like and subscribe so you don't miss out. Music is brought to you by Kevin MacLeod. Find more of his music by visiting incompetch.com or clicking on the link in the description. If you want to listen to more, find us on anchor.fm, our website unstabletogetherpod.wixsite.com, and pretty much anywhere you can find podcasts.